The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What are some reasons that people stop going to church, and why is the local church so important? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us on our episode today. Glad to have you along. Now, I'm going to come back at the end and tell you a little bit more about this, but I want to remind you that our website is packed with great biblical resources that are designed to help you grow. You can get to it by going to faithalone.org. Please come and explore. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're going through your questions. We'd love to hear from you, and we also want to hear where you are listening from. If you're listening to us from the Worship Channel, I would love to hear from you if that is where you're listening from. It's an online radio station, and we'd love to hear from you about that. Or if you're listening through an app, I'd also really, really like to know which app it is that you're listening through so we can invest our money and try to promote the program there. Hey, before we start the show, here is a very simple way also for you guys to really help us out. We were checking on Amazon the other day, and some of our books have as many as almost like maybe 50 reviews. A lot of our books only have about 10 or 15 reviews.
That's exactly right.
And I would love to see that. I'd love to see 100 or 200 reviews. If you're listening to us and you've read our books, it makes a huge difference if you just go to Amazon and review. And guess what? You were telling me the other day, Bob, that this is really a ministry.
Yes, in my opinion, when you write a review, you are reaching out to untold thousands of people who are going to read your review. If I'm an unbeliever and I'm looking for books that talk about a particular subject, or I'm a believer that's looking for books, and I read other people's reviews, those reviews influence me.
Yeah.
It really is a ministry. If you would just take, I would say it takes less than 4 minutes to go on to Amazon and to write a review. You just look at whatever book it is, and you click on it, you scroll down on the left side, and look underneath where it says write a review, and you rate the book on a scale of 1 to 5, and then you write. Your review can be one word. A sentence or two is fine.
Yeah.
And just take the time to write the review. So I would encourage you to do that. The same thing, of course, can't they review whatever platform they're listening to us? Can't they review our podcast?
Yeah, if you're allowed reviewing a podcast, that's another very simple way for you guys to help us and to help other people get to find the truth. And it has an impact.
Yep.
It has an impact for sure. All right, here's a question from Paul. Maybe it's more of a comment. I listened to your episode about attending church, and you mentioned a lot of valid reasons why people stop attending. And he says, here's a few reasons that weren't discussed, and he lists them. He says, COVID, lack of love, no discipleship programs, demographics that are geared towards younger people with no seniors present, worship services that have changed into shows with dry ice machines, flashing lights, etc. I've actually been in a church where they had a dry ice machine.
You did?
Yes.
You went to one?
It is, and it's... it's very off-putting. And then, of course, acceptance of works-based salvation. So this is just more of his comment. And I thought it's worthwhile to discuss those things because we want Free Grace churches to be healthy. I mean, it's a huge emphasis that we have, that discipleship is in and through the local church.
Right, absolutely.
Right. You want it to be a biblical meeting, and the local church is there to build you up.
Yeah, and we can't say often enough that we are not a local church.
Well, no, we're not.
We're called a parachurch ministry. That means we come alongside local churches and help them do their work of ministry. We're here to help your local church. If you're not in a local church, then we're here to encourage you to either start one or join one.
Absolutely.
If you need to, there's a family with 10 kids.
Right.
And they recently moved to Stillwater, Oklahoma to be in J.B. Bond's church,
right.
The Stouffers.
Yeah.
And
shout out to the Stouffers.
Yeah. They come to our conference a lot, and now they're at Stillwater Bible. But they put their money where their mouth is, and they moved across the country to go to a church that was sound.
Right.
And I would say, look, if you're willing to move for your work, If you're willing to move because you like it better in Florida than you like it in some other state, then why wouldn't you be willing to move for your walk with Christ?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, some people can't afford it. I get it.
Yeah.
Then start a church in your home or drive for an hour or two. Yeah, you can listen to sermons online, but even then I would do it in the context of a church in your home.
Yeah.
Gather together, have the Lord's Supper together, and listen to a message, even if it's not your message or someone in your assembly. Listen to a message from somebody as you're gathering together.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of these things here, Bob.
Okay.
So these are reasons people might stop attending a church. One is a lack of love.
Yeah, I would say that's probably a poor reason not to go to a church, because if you're going to a church, some of the most conservative churches at times are the stiffest, right? If you're going to a fundamentalist church, oftentimes those churches are going to be stiffer than a church that's liberal or a church that's moderate or whatever. And what I would say is, if you experience a lack of love, well, start giving love.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, listen, lack of love is a problem, right? In Revelation, which church leaves its first love? Ephesus.
You've lost your first love.
Yeah. I was going to say, hey, if some place lacks love, be the change. Start loving people in that church. If people are cold, the way to start up a fire is to be that first burning ember and just start, you know, loving people. I was thinking the same thing. No discipleship programs. That's a problem in a church, too. But as we were talking to Brent Lamb a couple episodes ago, you know what he did? He just started a discipleship program in his home. It wasn't called a discipleship program. It was just called meeting with people and talking to them and discipling them.
And then people from his church would come to his home and they would get discipled. And the pastor actually blessed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And lots of churches today have small groups in homes. Those groups can be a way to do discipleship.
Right. If that's a problem, if that's something stopping you from going to church, be the change. You know, start meeting with someone.
At Coppell Bible Fellowship, I've started teaching a Sunday school class. I'm going through my 10 most misunderstood words. It's a small group of people. I have about 10 people on Sunday morning. But they appreciate it, and that's a good size for a discipleship group.
Right.
It probably wouldn't be good to have 50 or 100 people, because then you can't discuss as
someone
well.
We know gathered 12 people and thought that was a good size.
Oh, that's right. That's
can't quite think of who it is. Actually, then he had 70 in the
He also had three.
He had the core 12, and then he had the core 3. You're right.
Peter, James, and John were the core 3, and you know, Mount Transfiguration, it's just Peter, James, and John. The other 9 aren't there.
Right. Demographics that are geared toward primarily younger people with no seniors present.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen the opposite. I've seen other churches that are just seniors and no young people. But what do you think about gearing yourself towards a demographic, a whole church?
Yeah, I don't really like that, because you don't see in the New Testament anything about youth groups, about children's ministry, or about seniors ministry, other than that the widows who are in the church who do not have families to take care of them are to be supported by the local church. You do see that. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 5, that a widow who is a widow indeed is to be supported by the local church. But that doesn't mean we can't have youth groups. It doesn't mean we can't have children's groups. But I get a kick out of the fact that some churches will spend huge amounts of money for children's ministry and for high school and college ministry, and zero for senior citizens.
Right.
And now, being a senior citizen myself now, I'm like, look, I don't have to have a special ministry for me, but if you are going to have ministry for these other groups, wouldn't it make sense to also spend money for the seniors, especially if the seniors are doing a lot of the giving?
Right. So now, would that be an unhealthy kind of trend in the church if you're just trying to go after one certain type of, you know, young people or something? Is that a reason not to go to that church?
I don't think it is, but you could talk to the leadership of the church and say, hey, maybe we could reach everybody. If we're going to make concerted efforts to reach children and high school and college, let's also reach the baby boomers.
Yeah.
Let's also reach the greatest generation.
Yeah. Worship services that have changed into shows with flashing lights and dry ice machines. I'd like to say something about this. You know, as a evangelical, I like to get onto Catholics and Orthodox people and high liturgy folks for adding all of these non-biblical elements to their worship because it's somehow pleasing to the eye. It's aesthetically pleasing. It's very impressive. But I have to say, evangelical, we've gone the same way. We've created our own unbiblical shows with all of these unbiblical elements of worship. And it does bother me because you're gathering as a church to worship. And if you're worshiping in unbiblical ways, it's, I don't know, what do you think? Is that a reason not to go to a church? If it's, I would say if it's a high, if you're having a sacrifice on an altar with a priest and stuff like that, that's probably a reason not to go to that church. In my opinion, that seems a little unbiblical there. But would I go if it's like a rock concert? Is that a reason not to go to a place?
It is for me.
Yeah.
For one thing, it hurts my ears, literally.
Yeah.
And I get a headache, and I have some PTSD, and when you get all the flashing lights and things, it causes me to have a headache. And so all that stuff would repel me.
Let's say you had like a church. They're just so faithful in preaching the Bible, but it's just like the music is not your taste.
Yeah,
that's a different situation.
I get that. I've been in lots of Bible churches like that. And it may not be my cup of tea, but it's the cup of tea for people in the younger group. Fine, I can live with that.
Yeah. That, I think, takes wisdom to know.
But what you're describing is beyond that.
I mean, a dry ice machine, I mean, and flashing lights. Those two examples aren't too egregious. But there is a line somewhere. I don't know where it is, but there's a line somewhere where it just becomes a show, and then it's not worship to me. But this last one, and we'll end with this, and acceptance of works-based salvation.
That's a showstopper.
That's a showstopper.
Yeah.
Because then now you have a false gospel, and you can't, it's not even a church at that. Is it a church if it's preaching a false gospel? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it can be a false church.
A false church, okay.
But you can't give any money to that church because now you're supporting a false gospel.
Yeah. So I say that would be a showstopper. But, I mean, these are all... Listen, we're for the church. We want healthy churches. We want more free grace churches. We want you to go to church and be discipled and use your gifts and help the body of Christ grow and mature. So I think probably people err on the side of being too picky. It doesn't need to be perfect. There is no perfect church.
If you find one, don't join it.
Don't join it.
Because you'll mess it up.
But some of these are showstoppers, but I think most of these are not. You can be the change.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.